I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, beautiful people. Jeremy here from Sick Boy Podcast. And I want to just take a moment to announce our next live show, which is happening February 28th, 2020. In Vancouver. We're going to be on the West Coast. We'll be recording some episodes while we're in town, but we're also going to be doing this live show. This will be the third time we've done a show in that beautiful city, and we're really excited to be back. We're going to be doing a show at the Biltmore Cabaret. It's on Prince Edward Street. You can get your tickets by heading over to sickboypodcast.com/shows. Get your tickets while they're there, because they will go fast. Our last show was quite a hit. There was a large turnout. So we're really excited to be back in Vancouver. Again, that is February 28th, this year, 2020. So head on over to sickboypodcast.com/shows for tickets. Can't wait to see y'all.
And then I felt super guilty because I put way too much chlorine in the hot tub, and Kanye West was like, dude, why the fuck did you put so much chlorine in?
I don't know why you would do that.
I know, it was dumb.
Anyway, I have been listening to all of these podcasts that I love. I love them so much, I don't know what to do. I just want to support them, and I have no idea how to do it. I mean, you're a huge podcast fan. How do you support the podcasts you love?
Well, I listen to like 5 shows a week, and I support all of them on Patreon.
What's Patreon?
What do you mean, what is Patreon? You literally ask our listeners to support our Patreon every single episode at the very end.
Wait, so hold on. Patreon is a way that you support podcasts and creators that you love? Or
yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, you can go and you can contribute as little as like $5 or as much as like $500 on a monthly basis.
No shit. So anybody who loves Sick Boy could go to our Patreon page that we have, news to me, and they could contribute whatever amount they want and get awesome shit in return for that?
That's exactly what it is. And honestly, if you say that you love Sick Boy, but you don't support us on Patreon, do you really love the show?
That's a very good point, Brian. Where do you go? Like, what is the thing? Is there a link? Is there a URL, I think it's called? Where would you go for that?
It's very easy. All you have to do is go to www.patreon.com/sickboy.
Sorry, could you say that one more time?
That's www.patreon.com/sickboy.
Come again?
That's www.patreon.com/sickboy. Dude, you're making me feel really self-conscious about my S's.
Yeah, plus it's 2020. I don't think you need the www. But anyway, that's amazing. Now I know. Sweet.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast where we talk about what it's like to be sick. This week, another host episode. Let's fucking do it.
Live.
Yeah.
We're not live. That's how Fighter the Kid starts.
It is.
How does it start?
Brian Cowan goes live from, and then Brendan Schaub's like, we're not live. This isn't live.
I feel like we do that occasionally. Are we recording?
We have been.
Well, we say that when we do live shows. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it is live for the people in front of us, although it's not live. As in, everybody can hear it at the time.
Well, this is really exciting because we are sitting down with the newest member of the Sick Boy Podcast team.
Do you want me to get
And it's
this
a female. We're diversifying. What's up? But she's white.
So,
Jesus Christ.
So
is this
dude, I don't know.
No, yeah, I'm recording.
That's how you want to do it.
Well, you know, I'm saying we're diversifying, but we haven't diversified that far yet. And maybe someday when we can afford it, we will.
What does that mean?
I mean,
when we can afford it.
When we can afford to have another person on.
Oh.
And anyway.
See, you just dig yourself a hole. When you start talking about gender and race, you just get yourself a shovel.
We should just start over.
No, well, we're in it. We're in it.
So we're in it now.
Lauren, hey. How do you feel? How does that make you feel?
I feel like I'm just a disappointment.
Oh no. Well, you're not a disappointment. You are a very much needed person. That to have you on the team is kind of a treat, because it's just been the three of us here in Halifax, and then we've got, of course, Donovan the CPAP Morgan over on PEI, who's been doing our sound, and which we talk about him at the end of every episode. And then of course, our good friend and manager, Jeff.
You didn't even have to say their names. You could have said, we have a couple other white guys.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay. That's enough of that. Now I'm regretting.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well,
you know what?
You dug the hole. I just jumped in with you, so.
Yeah. So we're here with a little host episode, and we figured we'd let Lauren tag along and kind of shoot the shit. Hey, you don't have cancer or anything, do you?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not yet. All right, cool. Well, maybe someday.
You texted me earlier today, and you were like,
"Is there
anything?"
Two of us are going to get it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? One in four people get cancer?
One in two.
No, one in two, because there's four of us. If two of us get it, that's half, which is one in two.
I heard you say one of us is going to get it.
Lauren said earlier, she sent me a text, and she's like, is there anything I can prepare for the conversation? And I didn't text her back this, but I thought...
Go rub yourself and use needles, and then see if something happens.
If you could get a disease, it would be advantageous to us, but you know, if you're not dealing with anything, that's okay too.
No, I mean, the only thing that...
You got to deal with something. You got something. What do you got?
Well, I mean, I do have one funny story about a time that I got a little fucked up, where I
lay it on us.
Yeah, I face planted down a flight of stairs and broke my nose and wrist at the same time.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Hey, wait, is that a scar on your nose?
Yeah, it's from that.
This is the first time I've seen it, and it's because of the lighting in here.
Mm. Yeah, and y'all were talking. I was just listening to an episode where y'all were talking about vitamin E.
Lauren's from Texas, so we know. Yeah. The y'all just came out twice, so I just want to let people know that's
why.
Yep, we were talking about vitamin E oil as something to reduce scars.
Yeah, but I did. What I did was I just like bit open vitamin E capsules, like a savage, like those gel capsules.
Right, yeah.
Like the ones that you would swallow for like taking pills, like taking vitamin supplements. That's it.
Yeah.
That works. Because it's just gel. It's just the
cream.
It's like vitamin E oil in those pills.
You know, they do just sell the oil too, right? Or the gel. Like you don't need to be a savage.
That's what you put on your tattoos, right? Vitamin E on tattoos?
Yeah. I don't know.
You can.
No. I've never have. I'm sure you can, but I don't.
Yeah. Oh, really? Fuck. I feel like I did.
Are you saying you don't because like somebody told you that you shouldn't? Or like are you just saying don't because like you don't?
Something else.
I don't because I know the best way to heal my tattoos, which is to...
What do you use?
I actually dry them out for as long as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just use like a very basic moisturizer, and I use it as little as possible. Although I have used this stuff called Aquaphor, which is like kind of like an intense moisturizer, but that's only if I have a tattoo that's like that gets extraordinarily itchy. Like if it gets so itchy that I like physically cannot go without scratching it, then I use Aquaphor. Otherwise, I'll use like a Vino
specific thing or
no? It's like it's I think it's like slightly medicated.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think it's like meant to like it's like meant to like help burns and scrapes and stuff.
Do you use it on your tattoos as well?
No, but when I was a kid and I had really dry skin, I had Aquaphor that I had to put on, like scaly dry skin.
And that stuff sticks.
Yeah,
It kind of looks like you've put Vaseline on.
Yeah,
you know that?
It's
is
all
it
like
thick?
Vaseline.
That shine?
It's very thick.
It's just got a shine to it. Like when it's on, you would see it and go, you're Why are you so greasy?
Lauren, sometimes you'll find it. It's hard to get a word in with Taylor and Jeremy. I find that all the time, but some, you just really need to be assertive about it. But anyway, now that I've finally cut in and got to speak my part right now, I want to throw it back to you and ask more about breaking your nose and breaking your wrist. Did you find that the vitamin E worked on the scar?
I think so, which I was really happy about because I'm really vain. And I really hated how my face looked. It was real bad. Like, I actually have pictures, but I like couldn't look at myself. Like, it was depressing to look at my own face. Like, it was yellow. I had a crazy bruise on my chin. My nose was busted open. I had two black eyes.
It's pretty significant looking scar. Like, were you like, was the tip of your nose just hanging off?
No, well, it was like flattened. My nose was flattened, and they were like, you might need plastic surgery to fix it.
You got Artie Langed.
Maybe.
Have you seen Artie Lang's nose recently?
I heard him talking about it. It was fucking horrific.
Did you not see it?
The pictures. Oh,
the pictures?
Yeah, I did see a picture of it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Take a moment and Google Artie Lang and look at his nose.
He snorted
glass.
Coke Ink. That he didn't know had pieces of glass in it.
Yeah.
He's a comedian that's like was an addict, and now he's clean.
Yeah.
So you were just like just plain old fucked up. You tripped, fell down a set of stairs, broke your nose.
Yeah. That's what I looked like.
Oh, dude, you do look like Artie Lang.
That was a couple days after.
Oh,
that's
hardcore.
That's Artie Lang's nose. His is kind of permanent, though, forever.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
That's real bad.
Did you have, did they put your nose, like, back into place?
Can you send that to me? Can we post that
as our introduce? I have three gnarly pictures.
Introducing Lauren to the team.
Well, that should be one of the photos.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Dude, send me that.
That is incredible.
I'm, like, crying.
Ladies and gentlemen, head on over to our Instagram right now, and you will see the latest photo on our feed.
That has
to be the newest member of our team. Dude, that's a fucking sweet photo.
Sorry, I just airdropped you the gnarly pics, Brian. Thank you. I also have x-rays of my wrist, but it was really bad, and I'm so vain. I was so depressed about how I looked. My mom flew up to come take care of me, and she like covered all the mirrors. It was like we were sitting Shiva.
Were you drunk?
Oh my God.
For my face.
That's so funny.
That is so funny.
No, it was just real dark.
Interesting.
The stairways to go upstairs to where my roommate and I's bedrooms were was like right next to the stairwell to go downstairs into the entrance.
Oh,
and
no.
I made a fatal mistake.
Critical error.
That's like Neil Pasricha, who remember the story? He was like, he went into the convenience store that he always goes into to get some flowers, and there was like a door that was open to the cellar and he just went and fell into it and then came up all bloody.
That's what happened. And I just like, I took it was really steep, like the stairs. And so I took a huge step as if to go up and I didn't hit anything on the way down.
That must have been like,
it was like a Monday night. I went downstairs for some kettle corn because I was watching Scandal and I was feeling peckish.
Oh, wait,
and
sorry,
the night went horribly awry.
Wait, sorry, I thought you said you were fucked up.
No, I was totally sober.
Oh,
I wish
she
I was.
Got
it
fucked
was
up.
So
oh, sorry. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
got fucked up.
I got real fucked up.
I imagine, like, I can imagine your heart dropping out as you, like, take that step and, like, are falling to your demise.
I had, like, I had enough time in the air that the fully formed thought, like, this is going to really suck.
Oh, no.
Like, pass through. And then the first thing I felt, actually, the first sensation was my face was wet. Because I was my nose busting open, blood all over the place.
And your face bleeds hard. Like, faces bleed. Your head. Have you ever cut your head open? Like,
I've had twice in soccer games.
Dude, forehead?
I had to get a total of 14 stitches in my head. One was right here. I went for a diving header in the box. At the same time, a guy was going to kick the ball, and he just kicked me in the head.
Holy fuck, did you get knocked out?
I fell to the ground and I just held my head and I didn't move at first. And I was thinking, I'm definitely going to get a penalty shot. And so I'm just laying there on the ground and I'm holding my head and I'm like, okay, just waiting for the ref to blow the whistle. And I get up and the guy on my team, I looked at him and he goes, oh my God.
You're
and I was like, holy
blood.
Shit. And then I felt like water on my hands and I looked down and I'm just like literally pouring blood down my face.
Yeah.
And anyway, I had to get 9 stitches there. Almost the same thing happened again a couple years later. So you bleed like
I
want to
ask
Lauren,
did you set your nose so that it would be straight? Did they do anything?
It ended up being good. Straight.
Yeah, I would never know that it was broken.
No, yeah. I showed them what they ended up doing was they shoved a metal rod that was kind of like pencil size, is the way I could describe it, up each of my nostrils and like
cracked. Pencil length or pencil width?
Both.
Wow.
Wait,
I don't know. Long.
They put them in and they went.
Oh, not like all the way, but it was like a pencil, like metal object, and they inserted it and they just went like crack and like brought it back up. And, as if it would have made a difference. Like, I showed the guy that did it a picture of my face beforehand, and I was like,
can you make it look like this?
It was like going to get your hair cut like and being like, can you make it look like this?
They're like, this is what it looked like before. This is what it looked like. This is the last time I got it done. It was like this. Can you do that?
What would be really funny is if you brought in a photo of somebody else's nose and been like, could you do it like this?
Well, that's why I kind of hoped. I kind of wish I could have gotten a nose job.
Yeah, right.
I broke my nose and I was hungover the next day and I just forgot about it and I
did the
never
same
went
thing.
To the hospital and now my nose is crooked.
I broke it in high school and just was like, this hurts a lot. Well, I guess there's nothing I can do.
That's that.
Yeah. You know what sucks probably way worse than that though?
Mm-hmm.
Bri, will you please bring up that photo that I just sent to you? This was sent to me by my wife not too long ago.
Dude, is not okay.
It is from the Medical Talks Instagram page.
Oh,
and I want you to be able to show Lauren this as well. This is an eyeball with a hair growing out of it.
Well, it looks like it's like an eyeball with like a growth on it, and there's a hair growing out of the growth.
This is what the post says. The hair grew in the eye. A boy in his teens presented with a gradually increasing mass in the right eye since childhood. Examination revealed an elevated yellowish-white lesion extending from 7 to 9 o'clock along the limbus. The plimbus? The limbus with overlaying fine vessels. Two hair follicles protruded from it. The clinical features
you can see
were...
the smaller one.
Oh, like can
the
you?
The little smaller hair? Is
Yeah. The clinical features were typically of limbal dermoid. The mass was excised with lamellar keratectomy and histopathology further confirmed the diagnosis. Lamellar dermoids are choristomas and are benign in nature. Doctors listening to this are just fucking
and
laughing.
Further use of the gram meter will help us employ the crankshaft into the nano shifter meter.
They may contain aberrant tissues such as hair, teeth, bone, or muscle. Surgical exertion, excision is sometimes indicated for cosmetic purposes. Dude, can you imagine
plucking that
an eyelash coming out of your fucking eyeball?
Put some mascara on. Lean into it.
Yeah.
Right.
Make it your own.
Own it. Don't let it define you.
Maybe he's born with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like a CoverGirl fucking commercial.
I'm trying to, I wish I had the date here, but I didn't, it just says 12 minutes ago. So obviously I took this photo the day they put the photo out. But anyway, at Medical Talks, I can't follow them because their shit is as gnarly as Miss Njemi.
But you follow her.
I don't. Sick Boy does. I don't personally follow her
Sick
shit.
Sick Boy follows all sorts of weird stuff.
Oh, man, there's a lot of weird
when
shit.
When I switch to that Instagram account, Kyle goes, what are you looking at?
Maddie says the same thing. Dude, I feel like it's Jeremy.
Sure.
It is.
It absolutely is.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, look, guys, this is when I cut my head open.
Oh, dude, that looks cool.
Yeah, it does.
You should have kept it. It was a good look.
And this is the next day.
Oh, that's
that's even cooler.
You know,
I put a cool filter on it.
I didn't want to like go too deep into it, but when we were just recording the episode that we just recorded before
with Adam, came out last week, probably,
like the way that he described the way that his back folded when he had his injury is exactly how I felt when I smashed my face snowboarding in Revelstoke about 5 years ago, and it made me realize how lucky I am that I didn't get what
right.
happened.
Dude, and like he didn't fall far. Like,
no.
Four
like,
feet.
Like,
that's not
innocent seeming.
That's
fall.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I was going at about probably I was definitely doing a good 30 kilometers an hour.
Yeah.
When I like hit the face and just like crumpled into a ball.
It made my spine hurt when he was talking about it. I got another little thing here. This will be a real quick one because I know you got some good shit that you want to dive into. This is fucking crazy. So this came out at some point last year, 2019, in March, independent.co.uk. This is the title of this article.
How legit is Independent?
I think it's like
Global Mail.
I think it is as well, but then like there's a handful of British sites that I'm always like, oh yeah, they're these credible British news sources.
I think it's as legit as Huffington Post.
And Huffington Post is actually like considered pretty legit.
Pretty legit, but it's got its own agenda for sure.
It's got an agenda, but it's a legit news source. Yeah. You're talking about like
right.
Daily Post or whatever, like exactly. That shit where you're it's just tabloids.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I'm like, am I getting it confused with like a British tabloid that's just
maybe this is. It sounds like a fucking tabloid. Listen to the title.
I searched
"Woman with mutant gene who feels no pain and heals without scarring discovered by scientists."
Sorry, but if the word mutant is in the title, it's not legitimate.
Real life,
in my opinion.
Fuck off.
Real life Wolverine.
So I did search on the Reddit subfeed, No Stupid Questions. Somebody wrote, "The Independent was a quality newspaper and was, along with The Guardian, the main choice for left-leaning and left-of-center readers."
This is just leftist bullshit. That's what this is then.
Fake news.
Yeah. Since they stopped the print edition, so they're online only now. But now there's quite a lot of celebrity clickbait articles, presumably to bring in ad revenue.
Yeah. So they're like a Huffington Post,
mutant headline.
So woman with mutant gene, in quotations, mutant gene, who feels no pain and heals without scarring discovered by scientists. Subtitle here, she reported numerous burns and cuts without pain, often smelling her burning flesh before noticing any injury.
Whoa.
A good-natured Scottish pensioner who that I love we've come across that word a few times in every host episode
which just means somebody who's on the pension, right?
Older person. I think
you're retired, right?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. It means you're retired and you're on a pension. But
like you could be young on a pension, couldn't you?
Not typically.
Define recommended. Like 50?
Like 15.
You wouldn't get a pension. You don't get a pension until you like work for a
The answer to that is no.
Okay. A good-natured Scottish old lady who experiences virtually no pain, has superhuman healing, and remains unflappable in life-threatening situations may sound like a Marvel spinoff, but has just been reported in a leading scientific journal. Dude, this is unbreakable.
Scientific journal?
They don't link to it.
Fuck off. They do. Hold on, let me finish. UK researchers have discovered Joe Cameron's now 71 remarkable abilities to apparently down to previously unreported genetic mutation. The case, published in the British Journal of Anesthesia,
not linked, just saying,
sounds legit, could open the door for a host of new treatments to help people recover from surgery, manage chronic pain and anxiety disorders. Ms. Cameron first caught doctors' attention at age 65, she sought treatment for a hip problem, which doctors later found to be severely arthritic and needing replacement. The discomfort would usually have been debilitating, and after a second painless surgery, doctors at Ragmore Hospital, Inverness, decided it needed further investigating. Alongside her extensive medical history, the authors said she reported numerous burns and cuts without pain, often smelling her burning flesh before noticing any injury, and these wounds healed quickly with little or no residual
scar.
She's
a Bond villain. There's a Bond villain.
Or she's Holy Daenerys fuck, Targaryen.
She looks like a Bond villain fucked a Targaryen. Look at her.
Yeah, she
Dude,
does.
I'm not even joking. Look at this woman.
Oh, she does.
Look at those glasses. I had no idea until a few years ago that there was anything that unusual about how little I feel pain. I just thought I was normal, Ms. Cameron said. Learning about it now fascinates me as much as it does anyone else. Referring to her pain geneticists at University College London and the University of Oxford, they identified two mutations of note. One in a gene called fatty acid amide hydrolase, F-A-A-H.
Yeah, yeah, that probably would have been a better way to say it.
Which is well known to pain researchers. The FA gene plays a role in the body's endocannabinoid system. Endocannabinoid system, interesting. Yeah. The parts of the central nervous system which play a role in pain, memory, and mood, and which the compounds in cannabis act on.
Yeah.
That's, whoa. Yeah, that makes sense.
I wonder what happens when she gets high. They also found a second gene, which had previously been written off as junk DNA. It's basically the gene that we thought was the appendix of genes turns out to be fucking just like auto healer.
That's crazy.
It now appears this gene, which they dub FA out, controls the FA gene, and in Miss Cameron switches it, and in Miss Cameron switches it off.
So she can go FA.
She goes
off.
FA off. Yeah, and then all weird. Her cuts go.
Do you think they? So do they just harvest her stem cells and inject them in people and cure people of like painful ailments?
If she moved to China, they might just start doing that.
Can you take some stem cells from somebody else and inject them into somebody else? Like
I think so.
When you, yeah, I guess mm-hmm. so, right? Yeah, like yeah. When you get that's stem cell therapy,
stem
are you getting
cell transplant?
Sometimes they take it from you.
Okay,
I think yeah. a lot of times they take it from you.
Right.
Yeah. When I asked that, I was thinking. That was kind of a dumb question.
I don't know. They probably don't always, but I think you do. Joe Rogan was just talking about this shit fucking 2 days ago, and something about he was getting something and they were taking stem cells from him from somewhere in his body. They said here that it could go to that it could lead to it could be used in like reducing the dependence on painkillers, on opioids.
Whoa. That's crazy.
Because the gene, if they could put the gene to work in patients who experience pain, they could use less painkillers.
Can you imagine being that person? That they're like,
we're gonna need
wow.
all of your
we're gonna,
cells.
We're gonna need you.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna help everyone who goes into surgery from this moment forward.
You just become like a harvesting body for science.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we should clone somebody, we should clone her.
Yeah.
That Chinese doctor that did all that weird shit with the babies, mm-hmm. the gene.
He made them HIV resistant.
Did that baby get made?
Yeah.
Is that going to be a human?
He did it to...
Or did he make it, go, I made it, and then abort it?
No, he didn't. No, they're humans.
Wait, what?
No, they were born. That's why
that person was born?
That's why he's going to jail.
Yeah, he's getting sentenced.
What happened? Yeah.
He got sentenced to 3 years in jail. You didn't hear about this?
No. That's why I made the remark about her moving to China.
He used CRISPR to do for gene editing on these two fetuses. They weren't fetuses. They would have been, I'm assuming they would have been
eggs
or...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or what,
yeah.
I don't know at what stage he does it or he did it.
Did the parents consent to that?
I don't know.
I don't know if the parents consented or if it was like a Petri dish kind of baby sort of situation. Oh.
So
like
wait, what did he make them do?
He made them HIV resistant.
He did like gene splicing shit and made it basically HIV, made the baby, he altered the genetics of a human to make it resistant to HIV. But then when he made it public that he did it basically like on his own accord. And the scientific world at large was like,
no,
whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
We can't be fucking, yeah. We can't be editing babies.
There's a line.
And so he's going to jail.
If anybody doesn't know what CRISPR is, it's basically like the ability to edit genes. And it's like, it's extremely limited now. But honestly, if you just go to, if you have Netflix, go to the first season of a show called Explained, and there's one that explains CRISPR, and it's basically the basics around the whole thing. But basically, they break it down into these four quadrants of like what is deemed ethical and non-ethical in terms of like what kinds of genes you can edit. And like half of the quadrant are like genes that you can pass on are like full stop unethical to edit because you are the implications are for further Whoa. Down the line that the if you have kids then that person will also carry those genes so you're passing it on, whereas there's genes, it's like somatic and I can't remember the other name, but there's other genes that you can alter in somebody that will only alter your life and your life
so
only.
If you're gonna edit,
and that's a gray area in terms
but
of
so if you're gonna edit the CF nature. Gene you couldn't edit that out of somebody? That's unethical
Like, I mean, basically, as of now?
Well, no, yeah, well, no. Well, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, there's, again, it's like taking every little individual instance and going, like, which quadrant does this, does this fall into? And a lot of them aren't even possible because it's like, CRISPR doesn't mean that you can just go in and be like, I want this kid to be 6'4". So, like,
here's the story. He, Jiang Ku, shocked the world in 2018 when he revealed that he used CRISPR technology or gene editing on babies, the first such application in history. Now, a Chinese court has sentenced him to 3 years in prison and almost $500,000 in a fine. But he and associates allegedly carried out gene editing experiments on embryos that led to the birth of three gene edited CRISPR babies. CRISPR babies in quotations.
CRISPR's the acronym for the technology.
That's right. The process was meant to prevent these babies from being infected with HIV from a parent, though the scientific community, including CRISPR pioneers Jennifer Doudna,
she's in the show with Unexplained,
and Feng Shang, along with drug makers, widely condemned the experiment. It's unclear how these babies are currently doing, though there have been no reports of adverse events.
Crazy.
Guys, isn't that fucking crazy?
Guys, you want to, this episode is going to be called The Chinese Doctors, because I've got I've got another Chinese doctor story.
Whoa.
So, almost exactly a week ago from when we're recording this, something crazy happened on a flight.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you know this?
I read the title of the tweet you sent. Okay,
so there was a flight from Guangzhou, I think, something like that.
You have to say it with that affectation.
My mom lived there for weird. A little bit, so I'm
oh, that was where your mom was at?
Yeah,
in Guangzhou.
Yeah, something like that. Cool. It sounds like that.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Did your mom never learn how to fucking say it?
No, my mom knows how to say it. I'm just not my mom, so I don't know how to say everything like she does. So.
Yeah. Plus, it's like if you know how to speak French, but like you say it with an accent. It's like you're not going to speak French perfectly because you're English.
Exactly right. Yeah, I do my best. And yeah. So anyway, the flight was from Guangzhou to what?
Not allowed that's to do
how,
that.
That's how you say it,
man. We are going to get some emails.
So from Guangzhou to New York. It was a long.
Don't do that, man.
It was a long flight, and they made that announcement. You know that announcement that you hear that's like, "Is there a doctor on board?"
Right.
And
wait, this is Guangzhou to where?
New York.
Okay,
so it's a long flight.
That's a fucking big flight.
I just watched a really funny Curb episode with the exact same thing happens. Just saying.
And so they say, "Is there a doctor on board?" And this guy's like, "Yeah, I'm a doctor." And he goes to the back of the plane, and there's this guy laying down on the floor at the back of the plane. He's
not supposed to be doing that on a
really,
plane.
Really intense pain. He's going through this incredible pain, and they find out that he has this like bladder disease. And
wait. He already had.
So it's a
doctor didn't come down and go like, oh, like tapping him and going, holy fuck, yeah. You got bladder disease.
I don't mean to keep bringing it up, but that's actually what happens in the Curb episode.
Don't stop it.
So he goes to the back of the plane, and it turns out this guy has this pre-existing bladder disease. And
got it.
But he has a lot of bladder pain. And it turns out that he really has to use the bathroom.
Oh, no.
But he can't use the bathroom.
Oh, no.
And the doctor determines that it's early enough in the flight, and it's a critical enough situation that they need to relieve the stress in his bladder.
Or else his bladder could rupture.
Oh, we talked about this. Now I remember this.
He could literally die. Like, death is a very real possibility.
Yeah. So you go into like toxic shock syndrome or something.
They're like, we have to do something. So the doctor, who is actually a urologist.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
What are the fucking odds?
So, I know, right?
Or and, did they say, is there a urologist on this flight?
Yeah, maybe they probably did, to maybe. Be honest. Or I guess like maybe a team of doctors came to the back of the plane first.
No, man. Yeah,
in my narration.
People aren't that fucking smart.
And in my retelling of the story, this guy just walks to the back and it's just, he ends up being a urologist. And that's exactly what they needed. So they're like, we need to relieve the pressure on his bladder. So the flight attendant says that because they also just know, right?
Right.
And and so they're like, they fashion a catheter.
No. No.
They fashion a catheter out of a long straw.
No.
And an oxygen mask.
No.
I remember now having this conversation with you. It's now I'm getting
wait. What went in? Did the straw go in the pee hole?
Jer's not seeing it clearly yet.
The straw goes in the pee hole with
the
hose from the oxygen mask is attached to the end.
Oh my God.
And so they shove that straw.
Why not put the
hose
in and not the straw? The straw. Dude, a straw that
maybe
is.
Maybe it's a little straw. It's like a juice box straw.
Jer, you're focused on the wrong end of this.
It was
on
a
the
slushy,
wrong end of the string.
A slurpy straw.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
No,
it was a big gulp.
No,
it was
a big gulp. Yeah, get the fuck out of here. Fuck off.
The girth of those straws. So he puts it in, right? And then he has the hose coming all the way out. And the thing is that...
Why am I focusing on the wrong side? Oh my God, he's going to suck it out.
Well...
He's going to suck out the piss like a fucking... Like when you're trying to get gas out of a car.
Siphoning it out of a tank, right? So...
Oh my God.
The only way for him to get out is literally like drink it like a straw.
Oh my God! But you don't have to swallow it. Don't drink it.
He doesn't. It's sterile. He doesn't drink it.
Listen, everybody. I know this is weird, but
he's got a lot of pee. I'm severely dehydrated.
I have to drink it. It's the only way it'll work is if I drink it. So you're like, why are you saying it like that? just no reason.
Turns out the guy didn't even have a bladder problem. So
he's just drunk.
He's like,
so,
but before we attend to what's really wrong, we need to drain his bladder.
So crazy thing is that guess how much pee he sucked out of that guy's bladder.
No. Let's actually take bets here. So how big do you think a bladder is? A bladder expands.
I'd fill this for sure. This is 700 mils.
I'm going to say, is it a number that's going to fucking blow my mind?
Well, I don't know. Just guess. And then I'll tell you if it blows your mind or not.
I'm going to guess 17 gallons.
That makes no sense.
No, I'm joking. Let's say a liter and a half.
Get.
That's too much.
What about like a wine bottle's worth? 750
mils?
Yeah.
Get. So it was between 700 and 800 milliliters.
Whoa.
Yeah, you guys are really good, actually.
So we were really close.
Good job, guys.
Except Jer. Lauren and Tilly.
Jer was way off.
Yeah. So did he spit it out into like one of those Starbucks venti cups since it fits a bottle of wine?
The best part is there is a video.
Hold on. Whoa.
That's just a little snippet of information that you have stuck up your sleeve.
Yeah, now we know who you
y'all
are.
Y'all didn't know that?
No.
So a bottle of wine you can fit in a venti cup at Starbucks?
Or maybe it's a size bigger than a venti. I don't know. They're weird Italian translations into actual what makes sense.
Yeah. I think venti's the biggest. I'm pretty sure that would be
venti's 20.
Bang on.
But they're like obnoxiously
20 ounces.
Big cup.
Do you remember that from Role Models?
No, I just
venti
made that up.
Is 20.
Yeah. Is it 20 ounces?
Yeah.
So then how many ounces in milliliters? How many milliliters is in 20 ounces?
I'm going to say
how many ounces?
600.
Are in a 750 milliliters.
Serious.
25 ounces.
So you could fit a bottle of wine in a venti Starbucks cup because it's of 590 milliliters. Is 20 ounces. So
pretty much a bottle.
So anyway. So crazy thing is that there's a video of this.
Oh no!
Obviously going to show you.
Come on.
Was
this on Pornhub?
The best part of the video is the doctor is sucking out the first little bit of pee, and he gets the first bit of pee in his mouth, and the flight attendant passes him a cup to spit into, and he takes the cup and he goes like this to her. He goes, "Cheers," and then he spits into the cup. So he's like having a good laugh about it at the same time that he's doing it.
Wow!
Considering the situation.
Now, is this doctor one of those babies that can't get HIV? Can you get HIV from pee?
No, you gotta get it from blood.
It's gotta be blood.
Or there's blood in the urine.
There you go. Because you're shoving a fucking straw in there, dude. Yeah. For sure there's urine or blood in that.
Oh, God.
Oh, my Lord. We're watching this video right now. Bri, where can people find this? I guess if you just Google Chinese doctor drinks pee out of man's
I think it's another independent article.
Is that a wine bottle?
Oh my God, it is a wine bottle. Oh my God.
Is he spinning it into a wine bottle?
Holy fuck. cheers. Yeah.
he didn't say cheers. He went, thank you for the fucking cup because I didn't know where to put this. Dude there's way, also, way too many people there. Too many cooks in the kitchen on that.
Wouldn't you want to see if you were there?
No.
Dude, when there's an incident on a plane, there's always too many fucking cooks in the kitchen. The guy beside me on my flight to Atlanta, he had the diabetes flare up thing. And he was, I never told you about that. I did.
What's the diabetes flare up?
I don't know what happened to him. He's his insulin.
He went into ketosis. Ketogenic shock. No,
ketosis. Is that when you're on a keto diet?
But it's something
insulin,
like that.
Something with your insulin.
He was intermittent fasting and eating a lot of butter.
No. It's like a ketosis.
Ketoacidosis.
Ketoacidosis. That is it. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Whatever happened to him, if we weren't so close to Atlanta already, we were landing the plane wherever the fuck we could because this guy was like, the guy sitting beside me. So Lauren's never heard the story, and I don't know if I've ever told it on the podcast.
I've never heard this story.
I'm sitting beside the guy on my way to Atlanta, and the guy beside me, he's in the middle seat, I'm in the aisle, and he's gotten up to go to the bathroom like 4 times probably. And then he comes back and every time he keeps apologizing every time he's going to the bathroom. And I'm like, yeah, no worries. Doesn't bother me. And then he gets back to the seat and he sits down and I can just see I'm watching a movie and out of the corner of my eye, I can tell this guy is like, he's like tripping. Like he's starting to move all weird. And like, I can just feel the discomfort coming from him.
Yeah, because when you go into ketoacidosis, a lot of people, it's like you're drunk. It's like you're really wasted.
Yeah, and so I looked over and I said, "Hey, man, are you doing okay? Do you need anything? Can I help?" And he just said, "Fuck, what did he say to me?" He said something like,
"My sugars are high."
He said something like, "I feel like I might die if we don't fucking get on the ground soon," or something like that. And I was like, "Whoa!"
And then, literally or figuratively,
yeah. Is that a joke?
And then he started to like nod off, and like his head started bobbing and dropping. So I flagged the flight attendant over, and then she came over,
How did I not hear this story? This is crazy.
I must have told you this.
I never heard this.
And then it was like, then all of a sudden it was his wife and his daughter, I think, were like a few rows, like 4 or 5 rows ahead of us.
Right.
And I was sitting beside him for some reason. And then it was like, the flight attendant came over and I stood up and I was like, oh fuck, like, can I do it? And then all of a sudden, like, everybody wants to be like in on the fucking party. And I'm literally standing there being like, yo guys, just chill the fuck out. Like, no one, we don't need everybody's fucking opinion on what's wrong with this guy. So
because everyone else is like, how is he this drunk? I want to get that drunk. Where's hey, where did you get all the booze, bud? Hey, bud.
Well, his daughter came back and took his blood sugar, and his number was super high. It was like, I think it was 26.
Whoa.
Which I can't remember what the base, what like the good 5 number
is,
or something.
Yeah, like above 5
three,
is too much.
Like 3
yeah.
to.
Yeah, right. And I knew that. And I went, and I heard 26 and I went, whoa, that's fucking high. A couple rows back, because the daughter said it out loud to me and to a doctor nearby.
Fucking Chinese doctor.
Was he a urologist?
And then a guy, and then a guy 2 rows back goes, "I'm a diabetic. That's not that high." And I was like, "Dude, shut up!
I put up much better numbers than that."
Anyway, we had to
fucking prank.
Anyway, dude, we fucking landed the plane. Like, we landed the plane. It made me realize how fucking in control pilots are. Like, when you think you've got a rough landing, like, that shit is so in control because they can land that plane way more rough than they do. Like, it very safely land way more aggressively. We came down and it was like, you could feel the elevation change hardcore. Like, they came in quick and they're like, they're probably towing the line of what is like commercially acceptable. And they're going like, we're going to toe the line here and get this thing on the ground. And then, obviously they got him off first. And then when I got off the plane, I saw him wheeled by on a stretcher and he was like, smile on his face, and obviously they fixed him up when he got
on the
ground.
Gave you thumbs up.
He was fucked up, man. He was all sorts of fucked up.
Crazy ketoacidosis story. last year, Maddie and I were driving back from Florida, and we ran out of gas. And so we were stuck on the side of the road for an hour and trying to flag some cars down and get to the gas station. We get picked up by this state trooper eventually, and he takes us up to the gas station. He's driving us back, and I'm like, hey, man, thanks a lot. Must be a slow day if you're able to pick us up and take us for a gas run. He was like, pretty slow day, but pretty fucked up, too. I just picked up this woman on the highway. It was like 2 in the afternoon, and she was completely naked. And I was like,
no way.
Completely naked, walking down the highway. Was she drunk and or on like drugs or something? And he was like, no, diabetic. And I was like, diabetic, whoa, man? I've never heard of a diabetic walking around naked like in the middle of the day. And anyway, it was ketoacidosis. She just like...
He gets when straight crazy.
Like, yeah, just totally lost her mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
has something to do with the sugar. This fucks you up.
That's insane.
That's about as scientific as I'm going to get.
Sick Boy Podcast will be right back after this very short break. Man, all this flight talks give me a little bit of anxiety.
You flying soon?
Yeah, I'm flying the day after tomorrow. I'm flying down to LA. Shit.
I got a 14-hour flight coming up.
Man, guys, I got like really bummed out about the world the other day.
What happened?
Well, just like everything. Just like, you know, Trump just still alive and like
maybe a little too far.
You know. And then all like the fucking Iran shooting down that plane, like that fucking super bummed me out.
That's crazy.
Big time.
You know what didn't bum
just
me
like,
out
though? And the wildfire, like the earth just burning, like dude, Australia,
dude. Yeah,
there's so many videos, and I gotta watch them. I'm like, well, I gotta watch all these dead animals.
I gotta see the koalas. Like,
yeah, oh, and it's fucking killing me. Like it's killing me.
You know what? You know what? Speaking of death and killing something, killing you.
Yeah.
You can choose to kill yourself. With medical assistance and dying.
Yes. Let's
in Canada.
Let's pivot.
Canada.
This is a little, I mean, although we're still talking about death, this makes me happy.
Yeah. So that's why I want to pivot to a death thing about
thanks,
a good death thing.
You know what? The world isn't so bad after all.
I know, right?
What, so what is
actually,
this?
Actually, Lauren sent this over today. There is currently a call in Canada to action for people to, fill out a survey on medical assistance in dying. It's kind of like an opportunity for the federal government to collect people's opinion and perspective on what the rules should be surrounding MAID.
And the reason they're doing this is because Quebec just made it like,
yeah, so
you can full on do it now.
It's a couple of reasons. So MAID started and it was enacted or brought into legislation in 2016.
Okay. Yeah.
And so because it was a 9-0 ruling by the government, by the Supreme Court or whatever, whoever does it too.
Nine in favor, zero
opposed to it.
Oh, that's nice.
But it was still, everybody supports it, but it's not everybody, but the majority of people obviously support this.
I think
this,
the controversy is pretty much.
But there, but no. There's still a gray no. area.
The controversy well, so about it being a thing. Be,
you're
being
both
a
right.
Thing now.
You're, there, so you're both right.
There's
Taylor, you're
plenty
right.
of people in the country who think that it is a fucking sin and like an abominable.
Do we have that population? The like the Bible
we do,
Belt
yeah,
population.
Perhaps a f- are yeah. we do what?
Do we?
We do,
dude.
But,
yes.
But, I just don't pay attention to them, I guess.
But you're
I
both
mean, which
right.
Is great.
You're both right,
dude. Alberta wants to separate from Canada. Because Canada's too left. Like, there are parts of the country that are so far from our fucking, like, the way that we see the world. And Bible-thumping fucking, no offense, you know, there could be a God. I don't know. Who's to say? But if there are people out there that really do believe in it and think that homosexuality is a sin and for sure think that MAID is a sin... And, right. you know, all that so, stuff like that definitely still exists so in this country.
But that's not so much the problem here. The problem is that there's a really gray area around the rules, like what should be the rules around using MAID or getting okay. access to MAID.
So this isn't Canada going, do you agree or disagree? They're going, this is happening. But here's how it exists.
So specifically, they lay it out on the first page if you go to fill out the survey. And it's really great for everybody to go and do this. I don't know if... Okay. I think we're going to be releasing this maybe the day after the survey closes. January 27th is is when the survey actually is cut off, so you can't weigh in after that.
No, this is coming out. Oh, you're right. Sorry, I was looking at turn me on schedule.
So, which is okay. If we'll maybe we'll share this on social media before that date, so that
let's do that.
So that people can jump on it or at least go and give their perspectives. But the reason why they're doing this is for two reasons. So the Quebec thing that you mentioned, which I'll talk about more, is that's one of the reasons. The other reason is because it was a really important piece that they brought in 5 years ago or in 2016, they do a 5-year review anyway to see how it's going. And they want to like make sure that, like, is there things that we could be doing differently that is going to make it better?
So like Audrey Parker and her situation.
Exactly.
Might be some sort of question that's laid out there where it's like, should someone be able to make the decision?
Well, that kind
before of, they like make the sign off on consent, like the one time mm-hmm. when they know they want to do it.
So that's like this, the situation in Quebec. There's two other reasons. So, there's three specific populations that are kind of affected in a negative way by the current way that the rules are written. And there's mature minors, they're called. So I believe that's mm-hmm. people under the age of 18 who are of capacity to, like, basically, you know, say you're 16 years old and you want access MAID, but you're too young and you only have a year left to live.
Is there an age? Is there an age designation?
So 18. So the thing that I learned today is that there are federal laws around this, and then provinces actually attach their own set of laws to MAID as well. Mm-hmm. But federally, it's you have to be 18 plus to access MAID.
Oh, wow. Right. That sucks.
So... It does and it doesn't, right? Like,
right. You know, I mean, the reason it's that reason, that stipulation is in there. 18 plus is in there for a reason.
Right.
But it's not black and white.
It's definitely not black and white. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. Think if you were 15 and you had terminal cancer and you knew it was going to be like really painful going out, but you just, and you know that this thing exists, but. Because you're 15,
I mean,
you're like, well, I guess.
But
I
it's
can't.
The same as like it's the same as it. Driving. Like, you know, there's kids that can mm-hmm. drive a car no problem when they're fucking 13, 14 years old, but we don't give them the license to do it. We'd make a blanket statement for everybody,
right?
I think there's other reasons too. So the like just to go over some of the rules of like what are the federal laws around MAID. So first ones, you have to be over the age of 18. Second one, you have to be eligible for Canadian healthcare. So you have to be like a Canadian citizen or eligible for the healthcare that we're given.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to make healthcare decisions for yourself.
Right. So like sound mind.
It's very subjective.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So these are my notes that I wrote down, but you have to be able to request without influence from others. So, it's voluntary, of your own, like intent. So, that could be another issue with being under the age of 18. Like imagine a minor that might be really like subjected to the views of their parents who believe that mm-hmm. this is going to be a better way for them to go and it's going to be less painful, but maybe they don't actually really truly believe that, but they're just regurgitating the things that their parents are saying. It's kind of, again, it's not like whether or not that's necessarily right or wrong.
It's a protection
it's
in place.
Circumstantial, right?
Because we deem somebody an adult at a certain age.
But just in the same way that you can say that, there's the possibility of the inverse of that.
Of course.
Absolutely. Right. So, that's why the three populations that are kind of affected negatively by this, that's why they call them like complex issues, because it's not like there are two sides to the
coin. So what are the three? There's the
mature
minor.
Minors. There's advanced requests. So those are like Audrey Parker situations.
Right.
Where you might like, you're kind of doing it maybe earlier than you would like to because...
You know that
you have to be of sound mind.
Yeah.
And then the third one is solely mental illness. So you're only suffering from mental illness. You don't have a physical diagnosis.
People couldn't see you, but you said only and did the quotations in case no one caught that.
Yeah.
Because if someone's just listening, like, they're going, only? Motherfucker. Yeah.
They totally changed their stance on how they feel about mental health. Yeah,
they were talking about be there for like months. I guess they don't believe in that shit anymore.
And then so those are the three populations. The rest of the rules is It has, you have to be suffering from a grievous or irremediable medical condition. So that means that it can't get better.
Right.
And there's that actually is broken down under a number of different areas that gets more specific. So it has to be an illness, disease, or disability. It has to be declining to a point where it cannot be reversed.
Yeah.
It has to be unbearable physical and mental suffering.
Yeah.
Which again, like a lot of these things are really subjective, right? Yeah.
Totally.
And then this is the big like hang up for everybody. And the thing that was the center of attention in this Quebec trial was natural death has to be reasonably foreseeable.
Right. So like in the States, we met a woman and who knows if this will ever come to light, but we did some recording stuff down in LA and we met a woman who was terminal with cancer and she couldn't go through with her assisted death, medical assisted death until she was given
6 months.
6 months to live.
Yeah.
So that's basically right.
So in the States, specifically there in California, they have a rule that is it has to be 6 months.
Yeah.
We don't have a timeline here, but it's just written as reasonably foreseeable.
Which right. is like, I mean, the most fucking
But
subjective.
The interesting thing is that they say that...
it's like, I think about Brandon and I'm like, at what point would they have said to him, this is reasonably foreseeable?
Right.
Like at what point there, you know, would they have said that to him the third time his cancer came back? Or would they have said that to him when he had the stroke down in the States?
But the problem is they might not have said it. Before he went to the States for treatment, he might not have had a reasonably foreseeable death.
Right.
But then he had a stroke and he was not of sound mind, so it was impossible for him to access MAID.
Right, right.
Right? So I think these are some of the complications that they're trying to address.
Well, he came around after the stroke, though.
But
he did.
Was he able to?
Yeah. But again, who knows? Yeah. I don't know. Like they might have looked at him and gone, nah, not really.
And then the other thing is, the one thing that I found interesting is it does not have to be a fatal or terminal diagnosis, which is interesting because it has to be.
It just has to not be able to get better.
Yes, but you have to have a reasonably foreseeable natural death. But it's not necessarily a fatal or terminal illness.
That
so would like ALS fall under that? Where it's like you have ALS, it's not going to get better. Mm-hmm. It's only going to progressively get worse. But like I don't know if they would refer to ALS as terminal, although it will likely be the cause of your death. And there is a foreseeable future of your death because of ALS, but like, you know, Stephen Hawking, like he lived quite
an outlier, I think. ALS.
Right. Sure. But right.
I guess that's the point. Those are really good points because the trial that was first, I have a question.
ALS might be terminal, considered terminal. I don't know.
Let's just consider the situation as you laid it out without us knowing the actual details or facts of that.
Sure. Yeah. Let's talk about this and not
but the reason
be
why
correct.
I say hypothetically, let's not use ALS. Let's just say hypothetically, there's a condition that isn't necessarily terminal, but is very declining and you might die of some symptom of that, but it's not necessarily terminal in itself.
Sure.
ALS.
Okay, so
the disease causes the progressive degeneration and death of the nerve cells.
I think Alzheimer's would be the same, except we can't use Alzheimer's either because that person isn't of sound mind. So, right?
Like, there's no cure. It could lead to death. It's not necessarily fatal. Right.
So, back to a quick number to give you guys a chance to guess a number. How many people do you think have used MAID since it's been brought in?
It's been available since 2016.
Yep.
10.
Oh my God, more than that. I'm going to say...
I don't think it's a lot of people.
I'm going to say...
In Canada. In Canada.
Yeah.
Okay.
350 people.
I'm going to go with about 100.
It's more than the amount of people that have cystic fibrosis in Canada.
What?
So it's like 4,000, 5,000?
Like 5,500 people?
6,700 people.
Whoa.
Views made.
Whoa.
Crazy. 6,000, right? So like 2,000 people a year.
When I saw that, I was super surprised.
What's the proportion of that's our population that is? Like, what's the proportion of
38 million Canadians? So 6,700, about 38 million. I don't know what the fraction is, but something like that.
So it's not like all of us know one person.
Yeah.
Well, because clearly we don't.
But, I mean, all of us who listen to Sick Boy know Audrey Parker at least,
yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But since then, I've heard of maybe two or three other people.
You said
locally.
10. I was like, you asked that question? I was like, that's got to be low. 10.
And Jeremy's answer influenced my answer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, as soon as you said that, I knew that you guys were all going to be off.
I was just going to say 750 milliliters again, since it worked out the last time.
You're like, a bottle of wine.
10 gallons.
It's always the answer.
That's
a lot of people.
This Quebec case is really interesting.
Did they say anything about where in Canada, or is it just across Canada?
Across Canada.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. I wonder what the provincial numbers would be.
The Quebec case is really interesting, because it's called, Truchon, versus the Attorney General of Canada is the case. And, it's actually two people, Mr. Truchon, Jean Truchon is the guy's name.
Don't say it like that.
Jean Truchon.
Why are you saying it with a Chinese accent?
Jean Truchon. and Michel Gladue. That's the woman.
Do you have those?
Why do they only use Truchon versus?
Because I speak French too.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, they're actually.
I could
that.
check out the Jean? Pronunciation.
Jean Truchon. Jean?
Yeah,
Jean
oui.
Truchon. Whoa, that was super French.
And Michel Gladue.
Michel Gladue.
Is it Gladue?
Yeah.
It's Gladu.
Yeah, Gladue.
Gladue.
Yeah, I'm fluent in French.
Okay, oui. Excellent.
Ouais.
Mais oui.
That's one of the reasons why we hired you.
She's not from Quebec. She probably don't say ouais. Do you?
My mom's from Quebec.
Okay. She speaks that text that text in French.
Yeah. Wow. She's a girl from Texas who speaks French.
You're so exotic.
So Jean actually he has cerebral palsy. And Michelle has.
There you go. That kind of falls in line with that thing we were talking about.
Right. So yep. That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. And Michelle has polio.
Whoa.
Right. Crazy. She has paralysis and severe scoliosis as a result of polio.
I thought that was eradicated.
And I thought you could just get rid of it if you had it.
No.
I don't
remember
know.
The guy that
it's not eradicated.
We wanted to go see in Dallas who lives in that iron lung. He has polio.
You know, though, I'm not sure. It said in the article that she had
time traveled.
No, but she was a wife of a time traveler.
One of my favorite movies.
It was Rachel McAdams.
Eric Bana.
She had paralysis and severe scoliosis as a result of polio. So I don't know.
Have you guys watched? Have you guys watched Inside Bill's Brain, the three part Bill Gates documentary?
No,
that's like one of his. They focus on his like three,
contributions
to the world that he's been doing with his money, and one of them is eradicating polio fully. And like, there's very few cases of polio in the world, and I think the only places where it's still actively being spread is
Montreal.
Isn't he also turning shit into smoothies?
He's turning shit into
shit smoothies.
Oh no, he's getting water. He's extracting water out of shit.
That's called
for clean drinking water. He's also working on nuclear power.
Interesting,
crazy. So these two people, they both applied for MAID, and they were both denied. And they were denied because they were both not, quote-unquote, nearing the end of their lives.
Did they die?
So they applied. They went through this whole case. And the Supreme Court ruled on September 11th of this year that they should have been allowed to go ahead with MAID. And the reason why was all around this part about the reasonably foreseeable natural death occurring. Mm. And there was two sections of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms that it basically was violating, which was Section 7, which is about life.
And bearing arms, I think.
Yeah, it's that one. It's about the right to life, liberty, and security.
Mm.
And the second one was, which is really interesting, was Section 15, which is about equality. So they were specifically talking about how they should, if you had two people with cerebral palsy, for example, and one was going through a significant amount of physical and mental pain.
Yeah.
And they were deemed to be nearing the end of their life.
Right.
But then you had somebody else who was, you know, going through the same amount of physical and mental pain, but they were, you know, 20 years away from the sure. quote unquote end of their foreseeable life or whatever. Mm-hmm. Those two people are experiencing the same pain.
Yeah.
Yet one can choose to access MAID because they're close to the end of that
and one,
pain.
And one cannot.
And one can't. So it doesn't really make sense in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened is, so I was curious, like, what happens if they say that these two people who applied for it and were denied it goes through court and they deem that it was unfairly, you know, that it wasn't fair that they were denied it, then what happens? Are they allowed to, like, just go through with MAID? And the way that it works is that, so they were both allowed to access MAID immediately. But what happens is they postpone the ruling for 6 months so that the government can, like, put in new legislation to address these violations of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. So they have an opportunity to, like, rewrite kind of some stuff around that to make it make sense and not violate against people's rights and freedoms. Mm. So on March 11th,
of
2020, of this year, if they don't address those things, then all of a sudden that's basically like, okay, the reasonably foreseeable future death thing is just wiped out. I guess there's precedent that no longer counts.
So they have to rewrite it, and if they don't rewrite it in time, then it just...
So I think what they're trying to do right now is take public opinion so that they can go in and
make a decision based
either,
off that.
Either rewrite something around this or just remove it or do something. But in the meantime, Jean and Michel were allowed to access MAID, but neither one of them have done it yet. So Jean was saying that basically he wants to live through another winter and spring and kind of see how he feels then. He has cerebral palsy. It's his situation's declining, but it's not at a point where he's like, I want to go through with medical assistance and dying yet. But I think it seems like he's getting pretty close to that.
Right.
And then I couldn't find anything else about Michel, but.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder, like, if I'm in, like, end stage and they're like, all right, we can put you on the transplant list. Like, I wonder if they would be like, well, because it's an option to get transplant, you actually have to try that first. And if all else fails, then you can go through with MAID. How does that work?
No. So, one of the rules is that you just have to give informed consent. So you have to be given all of your options, which includes options for treatments.
Right.
Then you can choose if you want to go through with that treatment or not. It's like, if your health is declining, you don't have to go through specific treatments and stuff to try to prolong your life.
Yeah.
If you just want to end the suffering. Right. So,
crazy.
When I've been going through this, like, one of the preconceived notions I had going into this was that MAID was rushed in to being a piece of legislation. I think it was Bill C-14 in 2016. And I was under the impression that they just, like, rushed through it because they wanted to put something in place so that people could go ahead with medical assistance in dying. But in reading through a lot of this, I feel like a lot of it was well thought out to a certain extent. I feel like it's just that one specific area that kind of wasn't thought out in the sense that there's those three complex cases that they haven't properly addressed.
Yeah, the mental health one is that's a hard one. That's a real sticky
one.
Yeah, it's a real sticky one. I heard someone talking about that on CBC, and he was talking about. This guy who
was it on The Current?
It was in the morning, and he was talking about how he had several suicide attempts and then had sort of, like, come around from his, like, suicidal thoughts, but then coming out the other side of that He was like, I no longer like want to, I no longer want to die, but I deserve the option. I deserve the option.
Yeah.
So he was,
I wonder what Mark Hennick, what his thoughts are on that.
Mm. Yeah.
Past Sick Boy guest who's suffered his entire life with like major depressive episodes. Cause it's one of those things where it's like when you're in it and of course, like you're going through such anguish and pain physically and mentally, like so much mentally that it's like, it's manifesting physically.
Yeah.
And the thought of like wanting to end that suffering makes total sense. Mm. But unlike say someone living with ALS who's in like end stage, or someone with CF who's in end stage, where like you're gonna die. Like it's the disease is actually gonna take your life.
If I were to see
but then again with depression, it's like the depression takes your life sometimes.
Well, my opinion, which I think is evolving. Is I read this quote today.
No, you have to pick a stance and stick with it.
I could change on this very easily, but I think where I'm at, like if you ask me right now in this minute, I would say that I read this quote today from somebody, but it's basically surrounding the idea of like it was referring to it as like dying with dignity, and it was talking about how with mental health specifically, if somebody's at the point where they're going to resort to taking their own life and they're going to do it in like a dangerous, brutal,
blowing their fucking brains out in their living room
with their
kids coming home to find it.
Right, a very traumatic way. If somebody's at that point where they're going to do that, yes, it's possible to get help. And yes, there are people who have been there and have come back from it and are in better places now. But, you know, can we prevent the trauma of that experience and the people that will be affected from finding that person.
But then, the other side of that is like the other people that the family members and things like that, like the trauma that will likely come from this person knowingly taking their life when there could be a way out.
It's funny because I'm saying it too, I'm like, I don't know. The devil's advocate.
But it's like a weird form of harm reduction in a way. Because if it's going to happen horribly and violently, then let's control the way that it happens. And that way, like you were saying, no one has to walk in and find somebody that they love in a horrible state.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would probably say that
I wonder where that's going to go.
And it allows you to like put into place, like imagine... This is a really tough situation to imagine anyway, but like I guess for the sake of going there, let's go there. Like if you were going to take your own life, if you were able to outwardly tell people, look, like I can't handle what I'm going through. I want to end this. I'm prepared to confront my mortality. I want to put into place all of the things I need to do and like an advance directive, a will. And you were able to like actually finalize your life openly with the people that you love. Would that be a healthier way to go than?
I wonder if that's going to happen suicide? In the future, though, since we're all living to like 120 or something. You know, like,
fucking aim. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Because we keep living, and that's becoming a problem.
Right. But I wonder from the mental health, maybe from the, I mean, maybe it comes from, who knows? Maybe it comes from the stipulation on mental health, the exclusion of mental health comes from. It could come from doctors, on the suggestion of doctors who might say something like, "These things come in episodes, and the wish to die is occurring in the episode, and when the episode comes to an end, and for a lot of people it does. Not saying that their episodes don't continue to occur, but when the episode comes to an end." That isn't going to be where that person's head is.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where their thoughts are going to be.
It's also kind of just interesting that we talk about this in the way that it's like it inherently dying is a bad thing.
Yeah,
you know, and yes, I understand that it's like we don't want to die. Right. Like the survival is
not as good as being alive.
But also,
well, I guess we don't know. But
we don't know. Like we don't know if I don't know. Like we.
you know,
the crazy thing.
We've yeah. been taught for the longest time that it was a sin, right?
Like, and the then finality like that, of it too, though. Mm-hmm. Like even, I mean, yeah, right. Like it is insane. But the crazy thing about the thing about mental health too is we're here rationalizing the thought process around choosing when you want to die if you're suffering from a mental health issue. It's not like the person, like, you could be suffering from psychosis or bipolar disorder, and like, do you still have the ability to rationalize your mortality and choose?
Well, psychosis, you don't.
So like, there's some
because the way we look at that is like, your reality is not the shared reality.
Right.
Like,
so how do you write legislation that allows people who are solely suffering from mental illness to make a decision like that?
That's for you write it very carefully.
Yeah, that's for lawyers. Yeah, they that's how they
it's
do.
I think
we should write it.
I think
we should put our foot down.
Oh my God! I think most people listening would probably agree.
The quote that I'll kind of like end this with is one of the Justice Minister David Lametti, who is one of the guys who was quoted in this article. He said, "Medical assistance in dying is a profoundly complex and personal issue for many Canadians. The consultations we are launching today will allow us to hear directly from Canadians and guide the path forward." So it is profoundly complex, and I think that it's really important for people to weigh in on it, because
it's so complex that it is literally case by case.
How long is that? How long is that survey?
I'm not sure. I just went through
on January 27th.
No, but I mean, like, how much time of my day do I gotta set aside?
It's not that long. I went through the demographic questions on the first page, but didn't actually get into it yet. Okay. But it's not that long.
Regardless, if it is long, it's important.
So they were having technical issues today because so many people were filling it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
All those Bible thumpers getting in there to be like, no, it's a sin. We can't do it.
Yeah. So all you left leaners, get out there and fill out that survey.
Brian, I have a piece of glass in my arm. Do you want to help me take it out later?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, this was really fun. Thanks for popping on the mics with us, Lauren. This is, we're looking forward to the next X amount of time that you're hanging out with us.
Thank y'all so much for having me.
Thank y'all so much.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much.
I love it.
Yeah, howdy.
All right. Well, this is that was it for this week.
You can do it.
We ended smash by it. Saying, go smash the subscribe button over on Apple Podcast and hit the rate and leave a rating and a review.
Smash. Hey, smash. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Lauren, you've been listening to quite a few episodes lately, trying to catch up.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Question for you. Why?
Who is your favorite?
The dog.
Why should people contribute to Sick Boy Podcast on Patreon?
Oh, great question.
As I've been listening, apart from the obvious, you know, stigma breaking down and getting to hear about all kinds of issues that make you more. That open your mind and make you more empathetic to different things that people go through that you might not like know about otherwise, which is y'all's main thing. As a woman, something that I can say is that I really appreciate like the model or the type of masculinity that you guys all model. Like, I think that you guys are all really good men.
Mm. Oh, that's very
and
sweet.
I really, and that's something that I've like really, that's something that like, I don't know, like as a woman, it means a lot to me. And so I think that, you know, the being a good role model is one of the best, most effective things that you can do to bring about change in the world. And I appreciate that you guys do that. So if you contribute to Patreon, you can see more of these great men doing their thing.
Damn.
Hey, now. Yeah.
That
was nice.
We might just want to just
end it on that.
Just copy paste that and totally replace what I say for Patreon
after
every episode.
Yeah, yeah.
That was way better than
we're
what
good
I
men.
since I'm a lady and I'm diverse.
I don't
diverse.
Think we can say that. We can't say that about ourselves. This conversation really went a full 180 from how it started, didn't it?
It really did. It really did.
Lauren, thanks so much for chatting with us, and I know that we're really happy to have you on the team.
Thank you.
And thanks, Donovan.
The other team member.
And thanks, Jeff Lonis. But thanks, Donovan, mostly for the sound design. We couldn't do this without you. Thanks for making it sound like we are on a plane having catheters put into our penises.
Oh my God, how are you going to do that? Oh no, I don't like that sound.
Yeah, and was that the buckle of your seatbelt for landing?
Dude, I'm going to be on a bunch of planes in Asia next week. Oh. Who knows? Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed that you get a catheter?
Yeah, maybe I'll get my pee-pee sucked out of, sucked by a doctor.
Oh my, whoa, what?
The pee-pee, my pee-pee sucked out by a doctor.
Your pee sucked out your pee-pee.
Oh my God, dude.
I didn't phrase that quite right.
You want to get blown by a doctor on the plane
Maybe I'll have a...
Well, there goes all the nice words that Lauren said.
Oh, God.
Thanks, Donovan. And thanks, Take Bart, and thanks, Jeff.
That is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Lauren.
And this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.